This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, floating above Wyoming and New Hampshire, looking at both from equidistant direction. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. My voice is suffering for my art, and now it's your turn to suffer for my art, listening to the Freedom Fiends. And to help me help you suffer for our art, I have Lusander Fien, the Chop Shop Rooster. Are you there, Lusander Fien?
Hey, I am here.
Hey.
And I think Ben will be popping on in a second, maybe.
Ben will be popping off, man. He's always popping off, yo. You can't stop him. But
Ben, we need you.
Yeah, but we're trying to get a hold of the porks here. There's apparently a drone has been... Nah, it wasn't a drone. It was an electronic pulse. Just knocked them offline, but we're going to get them on. So, Kyle, board op, we don't have the porks, right? You don't have a connection to them, do you? Oh, Ben should be on here, too. Ben, connect via Fiend phone. No pork face yet. Okay, they're not connected. Is that what's going on here? Okay, well, this is a teaching hospital, so I'm going to wait till Ben Stone gets on, and then he and Lou are going to talk. Then I'm going to call by Morse code carrier pigeon to New Hampshire to walk a bunch of stoned, drunk, tripping people through how to connect the Comrex. All right, so Lou, go ahead and filibuster. I'm going to make some calls. This is a teaching hospital.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah. Well, maybe you could send them some smoke signals out there, but I'm not sure if they'll be able to discern those from the smoke or the other smoke.
You got Ben Stone there? Hey, all right. You guys chat while I get the porks up, all right?
I'm going to call her. You're on the air.
Call her. You're on the air.
Hey, Ben. How's things, Lou?
Oh, things are great. I am currently in a place that it gets dark around 9 o'clock. The sun is up way up by 5 o'clock. There's mountains nearby, and there's a lot of ticks. I am in Bear Saskatchewan, Michigan.
Now, when you say ticks, you're not referring to the blood-sucking politician type of ticks, as in politic. You're referring to the actual little six-legged, multi-toothed monsters that suck blood, right?
Yes. here in Bear Saskatchewan, it's just about as bad as it is in New Hampshire, maybe a little bit worse. Springtime is really horrible. Once I got up here, everybody's warning me, watch out for the ticks, watch out for the ticks, watch out for the ticks. And I haven't had one yet, at least not that I've noticed. But everybody's just been yakking about, oh my God, they're horrible this year. But I've survived. I spent a lot of time out in the woods. And so, yeah, good to go.
Cool. Do they have... chiggers up that far north?
I don't think so. I remember hearing about them when I was down south as a kid, but I haven't heard about them up here. So
I don't think they can handle the cold weather all that well.
No, I don't think so. Matter of fact, I wish there were a lot more people that couldn't handle the cold weather so well. Get rid of them. So, hey, you've been following the news. Not only are the politicians calling for gun control, they're calling for flag control, too.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about that earlier today. They said on the local news down here in Alabama that the governor had decided to save everyone's life by taking evidently by taking down this colorful piece of cloth, everybody's going to be safe because it's colorful cloth that kills people.
Well, you do understand that first it starts with flag registration. Don't register your flags, because if you do, then state agents will come to your home in the middle of the night, kick down your door, and confiscate your flags. And once they have your flag, it's just a matter of time before you wind up in a camp.
Well, you know that phrase, come and get it, right? When it comes to flags, come and get it. As a matter of fact, no, really, come and get it. I'll wrap it for you.
I like what George Carlin said. Flags are just symbols for the symbol-minded. And if I could throw in, what a bunch of simpletons.
Yeah. Well, as I've said before on the show here, you know, from a Christian point of view, and I consider myself a Christian, from a Christian point of view, to venerate an inanimate object is against, very clearly, against Christianity and against the teachings of the Bible. So if a person calls themselves a Christian, they really need to ask themselves why they would venerate, why they would give magic powers to an inanimate object, and specifically one that has absolutely nothing to do with the, you know, the person of Jesus or, you know, the biblical God, why they would give some kind of magical value to a piece of cloth anyway, because it's blatant idolatry. But that's my preacher coming out in me, so I'll get off of that soapbox.
Well, as I have said before, it's not time to put Christ back in Christmas. It's time to put Christ back in Christians. And this idolatry, this worshiping of false gods and idols, it is really disconcerting if you take the idea of Christianity seriously. If you take the idea that you're supposed to worship God and serve God, now it's... I mean, there's absolutely no reason to be worshiping this magic piece of cloth. And yeah. I also remember Jesus said, I wasn't there, of course, but Jesus said, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say anything about, unless, of course, they're born on the other side of magic line and have a different magic cloth than you have.
You know, going more on a rant on that topic, oddly enough, Jesus was an illegal alien. He, as a child, his parents snatched him up and took him out of the country that he was born in, snuck across the border into Egypt, where he lived for the first, I can't remember now, 10, 12 years of his life or something like that, until they snuck back across the house. So he was alien. Joseph, his earthly father, went over to Egypt and took Egyptian jobs, you know, as an illegal alien. So, you know.
Did he have a work visa?
I'll bet he didn't. I'll bet he didn't even apply or didn't even have a Social Security card or a driver's license or anything. He's probably using their roads without even having a driver's license.
Using their roads? Oh, my God. and I bet he was getting, like, tax refunds, too, at the end of the year.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, those darn immigrants stealing our germs.
If he was in Egypt, he was using the Pharaoh's River, the Nile. I mean, how could you not use the Pharaoh's River? So he's using the government facilities. There he is, freeloading. He's a free rider.
So
dirty immigrants.
So he took no part in building the Nile, did he?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, he didn't build that. Somebody else built that. Oh, my God. In matter of fact, I bet he didn't have permits and licenses for his carpentry shop.
I'll bet he didn't pay any licensing fee. He probably wasn't even a member of the guild or the union.
Oh, the shame of it all. Oh, my God. And you know what? I bet he even had a different flag hidden at home. That he would take out and fly when nobody was looking.
Oh, man. I think we're going off the rails here.
Yeah. Well, there's a logical fallacy called reductio ad absurdum. This is radio show ad absurdum. So, yeah. But anyway, so what else is going on? You're down in Gulf Shores right now, right?
We're close to Gulf Shores. We've bounced around a bit in the last few weeks, but generally in that area between Mobile Bay and Pensacola, down where the cops shoot themselves.
Okay, or where they kill their own dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see that
cops
story?
Cops love to kill dogs so much, they'll kill their own dogs.
Yeah, some cop left police dog in the squad car in the sweltering heat and humidity and nastiness of down there. Probably had some chiggers in the car too. But the dog wound up dying, and I don't think anything's going to happen. Yeah, nothing's going to happen to the cop. And if that was a civilian that had killed a police dog, that's killing a police officer.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we're laughing and joking around about it. It's really a pretty serious thing. It's really pretty cruel to do that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of animal rights activists that they will actually go around and break the windows out of privately owned vehicles if a dog or baby or anything like that is in the car with, you know, when it's really that hot and the windows are up and all this other stuff. But I don't think they'll do that with a cop car, though.
I would have, had I been down there in Gulf Shores at the time, I would have been more than happy to do that. You know, not just for the fact of breaking a cop's window, but seeing a dog in a car suffering like that, I would have, without hesitation, popped the window and just suffer whatever the consequences afterwards. You know, do whatever you want to me afterwards. I'll go to the media and make a fuss about it. But, you know, I'm popping this window right now on this cop car. I would do it on a cop car faster than I would do it on a private person's car, because at least a private person, you know, it's their property. The cop car, he doesn't care. That's why he let his dog die, because he didn't care.
Yeah. So, oh, what a world it is. What a world. So,
yeah.
Are you going to be making it up north anytime soon? I know that you have a grandson that that you and Cindy really want to see.
Yeah, we really do. He's on the way up there. You know, we want to get to Michigan for the Peace and Liberty Festival up there in Michigan, and he's right on the way. He's in Ohio, so we would really like to get up there. We haven't worked out the details yet, but we'd really like to do that.
Well, I'm surprised that Cindy just hasn't had those mechanics inside of her body. Saying, okay, must go north, must see grandson. Because,
yeah,
grandmothers are like that.
I'll let a secret out. There's several campgrounds that are for sale down here, and I am so tempted to try to figure out a way
no.
to pull it off.
No.
No.
Just so you can turn the goons down and then get it taken away.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we're going to have people on here, and after this break, we have finally connected. And I want to take this opportunity to personally shame Derek J. He's a great guy. However, he messed me over, man. I said last night, hey, can you be there to help them get hooked up? And he's like, yep, I'll be there. And he was not there, so I didn't make any other plans, man. You got to do what you say you're going to do. That's almost as important as not initiating aggression in my book. And my book is called A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Alrighty.
I wish I was a meow 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 meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses to a rejuvenative radio waves, something above
this
warm and
toasty
365 degrees
Fahrenheit. To keep a sin flood of sadism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working? MK, Davi, Randy, Diana, Chandler, Angela, Lou, Ben, and Michael Dean. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
All right.
I can feel
it.
Oh, and by the way, everything.
Yes.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, so we fight.
Everything is covered by BIPCOT.
Yeah,
everything.
Everything.
Not Derek J, because Derek J has been fired. He can get rehired tomorrow, but we fired him for the night, and he's permanently replaced with having her debut tonight, Angela Keaton from antiwar.com, the newest fiend, the newest permanent fiend member. How are you, Angela?
I'm okay.
Speak up like you're on radio, Missy.
I'm good. I'm out of
How's your fiend bone?
My fiend bone is full of fever.
It sounds feverish.
It's a flaming bowl of fever. I don't know.
Sounds about 90.
Angela, say right. Worms. Just say worms. Just get it out there.
Worms. I didn't, you know, for the longest Angela, time I heard the show, I didn't know it was worms.
I think flaming fever might be her wrestling name.
Angela, do you accept that wrestling?
I accept what's given to me. I get what I deserve here from the Freedom Fiends. I get what I deserve, exactly.
Worms.
You have to accept it, though.
She just said she did. She said she accepted what was given to her.
It's yeah.
And what was all that? Right.
I think, I hope it wasn't like a case of something itchy.
It's ticks. Airdropped by the government.
It is Pork Fest.
You never know at Pork Fest.
I'm always kind of itchy.
With all those imaginary ticks.
So Derek J. Where's Derek J? Is Derek J out some like orgy or something?
Earth? Somewhere.
Derek left. He said everything was going to be fine. Everything was ready to go.
It was not.
And then he's left. I asked him for his phone number, and he said. Nah,
you don't need it.
You don't need that.
Did he really? That's funny.
He said that his phone wasn't working here, so you had to call him over the walkie-talkie.
I'll do that.
Here.
I'll do that immediately. So
the same thing happened to me last year for the very first live nighttime show. Ian had shown me how to set up the board and the Comrex and everything else, and I probably should have taken a video of it with my tablet because he went through it really quick. And Randy, you were on with me that night, and essentially by the time we got connected, I had the board op saying, okay, you're on, we got Randy on board, music starts now. And it's like... Okay. Yeah,
the difference between you and Derek is that you were here. Derek is not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there and knew nothing.
Derek
is not there and knows how to do it.
Well, the other Derek, Slopey, got it covered. I walked him through it. So there.
Yay, Derek. Slopey.
We'll write a tutorial.
Okay, so you can fix anything.
We'll get this fixed.
Yep. And you can get
those. So Slopey is.
Those Bipcot pocket licenses are now in the money lith, right next between the 9mm bullets and the nitrous tanks.
Oh, man. Everything is covered at Pork Fest.
Yep.
It is better than Amazon. You can literally get everything.
What, Randy?
You will be happy to know that Chandler was twice caught napping and was photographed with a Bipcot.
I saw one of them.
Yes.
Yep.
During the show?
Yeah. But you can't just hold it in front of him. You have to lay it
before
on him
and
tape it to him. Yeah. Yeah. The idea is the person wakes up and finds it on them.
So just holding it on, like over them, doesn't count.
It's better if
like
you put it
with,
if you put it on them. You have to put it on them. It has to touch them.
Chandler was.
It has to be attached.
Touch him.
Yeah.
Oh, I would
have
just gone right up and laid it on
your toolbox.
Him. Christian was being very cautious.
No, you should have laid it on him. Should have glued it to him with crazy glue.
Oh, I didn't know we were supposed to leave it on them.
So, Angela, how's your feeling bone?
It's retreating.
is that a medical condition or is that what you want?
It's crawling back inside. It's heading back in.
It's a prehensile fiend bone.
It's a flaccid fiend bone. It's not the fiend bone that can lead. No, this is not a leader fiend bone.
The fiends it leads.
This keeps on getting smaller and shriveling
bone?
By minutes.
Fiend bone? How is your fiend bone?
Hey, Sangeeta.
Sangeeta.
It's Sangeeta.
Oh, sorry, Sangeeta.
Sangeeta, hello.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
author, the cavalcade of whimsy and distress that is the Freedom Fiends. Angela, what did you call the Freedom Fiends? Late night what?
Late night House of Horrors? No.
Speak up. Speak up like you're on radio, Missy.
A late night House of Horrors?
There you go.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she's great. She just has to learn that she's actually speaking to people outside the room. She should speak up. So poke her with a stick when she's quiet.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands upon thousands of listeners.
No. Hundreds, probably. All right. So, Davi, in the Money Lith, so there's this thing called the Money Lith at Porkfest, and it's
The Metal Lith.
Metal Lith.
Metal Lith.
The Money Lith is so, like, 2011.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. So, in the Metal Lith, they've got, I noticed they have, other than having, like, bullets and Bipcot licenses and nitrous tanks and God knows what else, they've got these really nice little cloisonne buttons that Davi makes. And they say $10, and then it's got, like, Davi's signature behind it. I was thinking maybe Davi's signature costs $10 and comes with a free button. Is that what's really going on?
Well, I didn't... That's not my signature. That's my business card. I mean, like, it is a replication of my signature, but it's not, like, contractually valid or anything.
I think a replica of your signature should be worth
$10. It's not like you can thumbtack my business card to a contract and say that I agreed.
Well, wait, you actually can if you agree that.
I want a cloisonne button.
Yeah, that's what I do for a living. Yeah. What do you mean?
Cloisonne?
I think so. That's what the Silk Road buttons are.
You know, you'd probably sell a lot more of them if you described them as cloisonne. The ladies would buy them then.
Well, that's a different process. Most of the ones that I do are either offset or enamel, but cloisonne is available through this company. And
I ordered my big buttons today, Davi. I ordered the 1.75 inches buttons from our button guy. Did you order some yet?
There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So I'm in Wyoming. You guys talk about Porkfest. I'm just trying to fill space till you guys wake up and shoot enough speed to wake up and talk. So go ahead.
I just got here today. It's fun so far. We were greeted very warmly.
Sangreeted.
They went all like papers, please, at the front gate this today. Did you guys notice this? They're like checking everybody for armbands, and every car has to have a magnet.
Just hand them the license plates.
Must have magnets.
We got
the roving bands of teenagers that are taking the magnets from the cars.
Right. We got checked twice. Oh. We got checked at the gate on the street, and then again when we parked at the lot.
Yeah.
So two teams of people checking magnets and wristbands.
Those teens.
And we have neither. And we managed to get in, so.
There you go.
I guess because we don't look like roving bands.
You must have snuck in the back.
Hippies use the back door.
No, but they watched you all the way into the registration tent. Make sure you went there. I thought they were very nice. I mean, they warned me on the way out that that there were roving bands of people stealing those.
And, yeah.
Did I still have my magnet?
Did you guys see the state building the road today?
Yes.
Yes. And there was a little old man in a funny uniform with a shiny badge sitting in the police car there.
He was making sure nobody stole
really
the
scary.
Asphalt.
Right. I was almost late getting back to the play I was supposed to be in because of the road. I was like, I have to, like, hustle. How do I get across this? But, yeah, they're building a road. Right outside of Porkfest. And but it's kind of like a great government troll, right? Like, if I was the government, I would totally do this during Porkfest. So, I mean, it's like an evil genius thing. Like, I want to laugh at it, but it's like, man, that's not cool, guys. But it is kind of funny.
The play was without pretty the fantastic. Government. You want to tell them about the play?
Yeah, it's just
yeah, we
play.
Can talk about the play. So I did Mozart Was a Red today, and I played the character that was supposed to represent Barbara Brandon. So Mozart Was a Red was a play written by Murray Rothbard, kind of making fun of Ayn Rand and her inner circle. And it's a really, really funny play if you're familiar with some of the stereotypes about Ayn Rand.
Or if you've ever met an objectivist.
Like, it's just, it kind of pokes fun at the, you know, strictness of the philosophy. And it was really, really fun. Mark Edge played Ayn Rand's kind of sad husband, and then Jeffrey Tucker played. it was really great. And Jeffrey Tucker reprised his role as a Nathaniel Brandon kind of character. And then my friend Robert Anthony Peters played the Rothbard character. And it's just a really fun quick little play. It's only about 20 minutes long, and yeah, it turned out really well. So had a good time. So theater at Porkfest, they have everything here.
It was anti-reason and anti-life.
It was. And very rational cigarettes.
Yeah, very rational cigarettes.
Well, you have to smoke. You're not a true objectivist, so.
Yeah.
It's clearly, the fire because of the mind.
That was so bizarre. Really. It was.
So.
There was this great dog that was at, I went to Jeffrey Tucker's talks. He had three of them, and then he had a role in Mozart Was a Red. And first couple times, you know, he gave a good line, an applause line. Everyone was clapping, and there was some guy back behind me that was barking like a dog. And I kept trying to figure out what it was. And then I heard it again, and when there was an applause, and it was barking again, and as soon as the applause died down, you know, it stopped. I just figured it was some jerk. That was, you know, a couple rows behind me. I finally found out there was a dog back there, but the dog only barked at the appropriate times, at Jeffrey Tucker's best lines. And this happened through three talks and the play. At the end of the play, the dog went wild. And then when everyone finally, the applause died down, the dog, oh, and then he stopped right then.
Yeah, and what a trooper he was.
I'd like to get the dog on the show.
Yeah.
Very enthusiastic.
Or at least in the audience.
He's got great timing.
It must be Pavlovian, right? Like, yay, dog, here's a treat.
Right.
Yay, dog, here's a treat.
There's lots of cool-looking dogs around here at Porkfest.
Black Labs Matter.
Black Labs Matter. Yes. You're getting it started. Yes. Hashtag Black Labs Matter.
Just remember, Josh Coleman killed a cop.
Yes.
If you don't know this story, so Josh Coleman is a police officer who left his canine unit in the back of his car and baked him. And so the hashtag Black of the week is Josh Coleman killed a cop.
Well, and the thing about it is, though, is that that dog wasn't even a enforcement canine. He was a community engagement dog. So he was dog that was supposed to just be like, you know, a friendly face for the law enforcement or whatever.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's just like it's
he killed
even
a nice
sadder.
Dog.
He killed a nice
killed
dog.
A nice dog.
The dog was still a government employee, and I'm sure they're going to name a highway after the dog.
Or a bridge.
It's the only right thing to do. It's a dangerous job being a cop. You could get killed by another cop really easily.
One cop, if they left their real human partner in the car, I mean, they could get killed.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to have enough sense to get out if you were dying.
Well, some cops.
Barack Obama was a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
So it could happen.
Didn't want to forget that.
I wonder if someone they've arrested has ever been left in the back of the cop car. Like, they just forgot one time. And
there was that guy. He was arrested. It was just like a drunken public or something. And they put him in the jail, and then they closed for the weekend. And they just left him in the jail. Like, nope, apparently this was a station where there were no officers over the course of the weekend. And he, like, nearly, like, starved and dehydrated to death in this jail cell because they just left him there.
Over just a weekend?
Oh, I did hear about that, yeah.
Would you try going a weekend without water?
Three days without water. Water.
Oh, that's
kill
true.
You.
3 days is a long time without water. That's true.
I know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Drink down the toilet?
I don't think that there's
water.
A toilet.
Like
I don't think there's
toilet?
A toilet in a jail cell. Maybe in a prison cell, but not in a jail cell.
Well, in Missouri, there's
yeah, he did. He was also handcuffed the whole time, and so yeah, he ended up like contorting himself into some sort of strange position using the bench and the wall so that he could pee in his mouth. Like, and that's not a joke. Like that really happened.
An art joke, communists are silly, and have the logic of tiny, small, little German.
I think Angela has a comment about that last one. She's ruminating over it.
For the record, that's not a solution to dehydration.
Ruminating means chewing your cud.
Don't do this at home.
It doesn't work.
Or in your jail cell.
Do not
cell.
Pee in your mouth.
Unless you're wearing a still suit, then it's okay.
What's a still suit?
Haven't you read Dune?
Yeah.
That's what they wear.
That's what the suit was called, a still suit. Yeah. All right. Well, that's not the same thing.
I don't know. Essentially, you are. You know what I never understood?
So here's what I don't get. So Dune is one thing, right? Dune is a desert planet. I get it. Did you see Waterworld?
Ugh. I never. Yes.
So the opening scene, Waterworld is just Mad Max on the ocean. But in the opening scene,
no, it isn't.
Kevin Costner like has this contraption and he like pees into it and it bubbles through and he drinks this cup and he's like, oh yeah, okay, water is so scarce that you have to drink your own urine. You're surrounded by ocean. Are you seriously telling me this bubbling contraption of yours filters out like arsenic and stuff, but it doesn't filter salt?
Water. Yeah.
So. Interesting little inside baseball thing, Hollywood thing. So the movie Ishtar, remember the old, I don't know if you ever saw the old movie Ishtar. It was like...
Oh, yeah, Warren Beatty or something?
Yeah, at one point that was like the highest budget, biggest money-losing film ever. Like it cost a lot for when it was made and it lost tons of money. So Waterworld,
and then
broke that record. And the nickname for Waterworld in the industry was Fishtar, because it lost some more money than Ishtar.
Nice. Fishtar.
It's one of the most terrible movies I've ever seen.
And then
how bad it is. I've never.
And you ever see Grizzly Man, which is actually a good movie, but Grizzly Man, one of the nicknames I heard for that was Bear Witch Project.
Yeah, I've seen parts of it. That dude was strange, to say the least.
He was lunch.
Yeah, he ended up being lunch for sure. He
had the Pork Fest Black Bear shown up yet this year.
Which I found the fact that he had a girlfriend quite surprising.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of kind of hot, crazy environmental chicks out there in California.
I'm thinking more that he seemed like he was gay.
Really, huh? He did.
I'm unfamiliar with this film.
Well, what kind of boyfriends those kind of girls usually have.
The film is basically a documentary about this guy who was nicknamed Grizzly Man because he loved grizzly bears. And he thought that he could commune with the grizzly bears, that he could go out and camp around the grizzly bears and just like make friends with the grizzly bears. And yeah, eventually he became lunch. For real.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea. You don't make friends with grizzly bears.
When there's an audio recording of it, allegedly.
You run from grizzly bears, or I don't know.
That kind of inspired the thing in the Guns and Weed movie with the cops being six drug police were eaten by bears in the audio.
Oh, yes.
That audio is actually Nima's dog crunching on a soup bone slowed down. He's supposed to be eating the cop. I had fun making that audio, man.
Awesome.
You know, I heard that commercial for probably dozens of times, and I thought that it was a real news broadcast until I became a fiend.
Nice.
It does sound so real, though.
Well, it's because Nima used to be a news broadcaster. Well,
are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Yeah. The Buddha Cat.
Yeah.
Opera cat.
Who was that? Who was the opera cat?
That was me.
That's awesome.
Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yep. It's true. We have to say it once per hour. So, what's up, guys?
Everyone at Porkfest's feet stink.
All that.
It's true. And some of them are socialists.
That'll be the CNN headline. Porkfest, where everyone's
feet
stink.
We need to identify them and rid ourselves of them.
I know, and license them BIPCOT.
Yeah, put them in the database.
I'm not worried about them.
If you license a socialist BIPCOT, he becomes an anarchist. So, Davi.
Yeah.
Interview Angela Keaton.
Why?
Hey, Angela, what's your wrestling name?
It was last segment. I don't remember which name that was. I don't keep track of these things.
Flaming Fever.
Oh, you know what I want?
Flaming Feet.
I want someone to rub out my fiend bone, which is located in my right rotator cuff.
Just, all right.
Dobby, you're the closest to her.
So. No, no, I mean, just, but yeah, but no.
I think she might need professional help. I mean, a retracted fiend bone is a pretty serious condition.
Might have to get.
Well, Taron, what about,
is he a
Taron Lupo?
He is.
Yeah, he is.
I just came in with such good intentions, and it's all been destroyed.
So, Angela, what's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything?
I know this one. I know this one. I know it.
I'm just picking your brain. That's all.
I don't pick anything. I don't want anything picked up here. Yeah, I want it to be whole and left alone.
Make sure that your answer is in the form of a question.
If you want to be left alone, don't go on radio.
Oh, they want me to give 42 as the answer.
Well,
that's the old answer.
That's the popular answer, but yeah, never made any sense
answer,
to me.
What's the real answer, Dobby? There's a new answer, what? Isn't there? Is there a new answer?
I can't hear. What'd you say?
Is there a new answer? Put headphones on, Dobby. Somebody, please.
Here, take these away.
Take these away.
Hey, there's Michael.
Hey, do a radio show, Dobby.
Do a radio show? I don't know how to do that. Angela, tell us about antiwar.com.
There you go.
Direct
thank
the
you.
Fiends?
This yeah,
is
why not?
You want me to do what a fiend bone killer.
Okay, why don't you tell us about like all of the like dirty office politics of antiwar.com?
Yeah.
Give us some juicy gossip.
Oh god, it's like anti gossip. It's like no, I mean it wouldn't even. I can't.
No.
No.
Tell us about the time the janitor was found in the furry outfit.
Oh, the janitor?
I'm just making stuff up. This is like, it's
God.
You know,
no,
your
no.
refusal to Steve, deny Steve is Paul, a confirmation. You know that?
Well, you know, I mean, I just you know, because it's all lies, like with the laptop and everything else, and you know, with the radio.
The laptop is a lie. Is the cake a lie?
And then you're wearing an I voted sticker, and it's.
I did. I voted. Yeah. I'm up $1.50.
What?
Yeah. You guys can fend for your own lunch.
Voting that pays. Yeah.
Was CNN filming you, Dobby, when she interviewed you?
Yeah, CNN filmed me.
They're going to use that. That's going to be the whole report, and they're going to take it totally seriously.
Yep.
You and your voting machine. They say, libertarians believe in selling votes to the free market. That's how they want to run the country.
It's true.
And we found out how to do voting.
I got
to
tell you,
too.
Like, this has always been my stance. I am a non-voter. I'm a committed non-voter. But for the right price, I will take the time to go down to the ballot box and vote how you want.
Yeah.
I don't see why you can't sell
What's your vote worth? Let's go down. Angela, what's your vote worth?
I guess during that time I could get like a manicure pedicure, so I'd say like 75 to 90.
$75 to $90 you'd go down and like vote. And is that a federal election or is that like a primary vote?
I would say that just like, I mean, if you want me to do a federal election, I'm probably going to charge. Well, you know, that's like a whole facial. So let's just say $220.
$220 for a
vote.
Wow,
that's an expensive facial.
Well, it's, you know, oxygen.
It's California.
Oxygen. Traction.
Wait, oxygen?
Hey, I'll do it for you for 50.
You would? What, they give you oxygen to breathe while they do the facial?
Oh, excellent. Oh, good. They'll give you something to do during the break when I can't figure out whether I'm on the air or not.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we will be selling our votes while you all go to the
free oxygen.
Oxygen facials, man.
Oh.
I'm Googling this. Because I have a lot of oxygen here. I could do that.
I'm pretty sure it's a federal crime to sell your vote.
Probably a federal crime to talk about it.
I don't know how they'd prove it.
If you have a recording of you talking on radio about it.
Whatever. Everything I advocate that is illegal, immoral, or fattening is actually satire intended to mean its opposite.
There you go.
Worms.
No.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CatMuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com. Someone doing the intro? Anybody?
I'll do the intro.
Go ahead, Bueller.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibCare 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And this is Diana Tyler, the Laughing Kitty. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
So what about you? What's your vote worth?
Oh, gosh, I was thinking about that. And if we're talking about enhancements of any sort, whether that be mani-pedis or oxygen facials, I'm thinking more along the lines of, I don't know, laser resurfacing.
Wow.
That's about $3,000.
I'm sensing a trend. Randy England, what cosmetic surgery do you want?
It would have to be a whole lot of money, like the same amount of money that I would need before I would commit murder.
So, MK, what's your vote worth?
So, I think it's worth about $350. I'm happy to get half a hoagie out of this thing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm cheap.
Half a hoagie. $350.
Wow. I actually.
Half a hoagie. I'm okay with that.
I actually did the math on this. I figured out what a vote is worth. I took all of the campaigns of all the major candidates and all of the like third party candidates from the previous election, and I compared that to the actual number of Americans that voted, and lo and behold, the value of a vote is $6.66.
So.
So, for a mere $6.66, I'm happy to go down to the poll and vote.
There you go.
But if you are voting, you should just know that it would be more valuable for you, as far as change is concerned, to take $6.66 and like give it to a homeless person.
Or my time is worth more than that. Here's the thing, is my time is worth more than that to go down and wait in line, but even more than that is what you'd have to pay me to hang out with voters for an hour.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Think about that.
Guys.
Yeah.
Their feet stink, too.
They really do.
Why does it take an hour in Wyoming?
To do what? Vote?
To vote.
I don't know. I've
it takes an hour to vote in Wyoming?
I'm thinking of California. Southern California, it takes at least an hour to vote, usually.
Why? There's lines. People wait in line like for communist bread.
Yeah, because everyone votes in Southern California because they all want their government, you know, to do the things they want it to do.
I cannot imagine waiting in line for an instant to vote.
No. Like,
I don't even wait in line for ice cream. I like ice cream.
Okay, so who sitting around this table has voted in the past?
I voted today. I'm up $1.50. Okay.
I voted in David's voting machine. It cost me a quarter.
Last time I voted, this is embarrassing. Last person I voted for was Bob Barr.
Wow. Why did you vote for Bob Barr? Really?
I was confused. I was a newly minted libertarian and didn't know what to do. So,
Bob Barr, wait, when? What year was this?
2008. Whoa. That's hardly an excuse.
Yeah, right.
It's an embarrassment.
Was it? Are you?
It's like something
look,
that you should,
we all have.
You woke the beast.
Okay, we all have skeletons.
I woke the beast.
We, you know, it's a live and learn kind of thing, you know, for some of us.
Sometimes I didn't know. Bars,
I was raised a Democrat, theater. Okay?
I've been a libertarian for about 2 days, and I was like, oh, well, he's the libertarian. I didn't know that he'd worked for the NSA or the CIA or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And he wrote the Defense of Marriage Act.
I know. I know.
I'm okay with my wasted vote, so.
You voted for Nader?
That was the only time I voted, was in 2000. Well,
I almost voted for Nader.
Primaries.
I voted for Kerry.
And then in the general election, I voted for Nader. Because I figured he'd been at it a long time. And
I voted for Nancy Pelosi once. So. I'm the worst sitter here.
See, we all have dirty little secrets.
Yeah, it's not even a secret, though. I've said that many times.
I voted for Ronald Reagan.
Wow.
You shook hands with Ronald Reagan, though. There's a picture of you with Ronald Reagan. There's proof. You can't deny it. I've seen it.
I didn't shake his hand. I was waiting in line.
You took a picture instead.
Camera. Yeah, he stood and stuck his hand out to me, and I thought, great picture, and I pulled my hand back.
You snubbed him. You snubbed him to get a picture. That's awesome.
So metal.
I will say I did vote for Gore.
You voted for Gore?
I vote for Goring, too.
Better than Bush, I guess.
And then I voted for Bush.
And you voted for Bush?
I never voted for Bush. I think I voted for Dukakis once.
You know, I had a form of insanity. You know, the whole, like, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So.
She was having a sin flood. A sin flood
of statism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm grateful for George W. Bush. He made me really hate politics and government and everything. Like, without him and his horrible administration, like, I don't know that I would be an anarchist. I really don't, because I was so...
He kind of wrecked it for me, though.
No, imagine if Al Gore had been president instead. You really think Al Gore could have gone through 4 years or 8 years in the White House and you wouldn't have hated politics?
Oh, I think I would have,
George
too.
George W. Bush is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
George W. Bush, you know.
You know, the thing that George W. Bush did that I didn't like was he made it really uncool to have the middle initial of W. Because that's always been, like, a really cool middle initial, and that's my middle initial.
Yeah,
but it became really uncool.
What a jerk.
It became really uncool.
George W. Bush is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yes,
this is true.
I like how he just said, did you ever see the stickers that were just W,
my
president, or the president?
Ew.
It's like he tried to turn it into a brand, kind of, but just like the W part.
I thought it was kind of funny when Clinton was the outgoing president, his administration removed the W's from all the keyboards in the White House before Bush came in.
Yeah, that I heard that.
I heard that.
That's kind of funny.
That's kind of funny.
He said it was me, or that was mean?
He said it was mean.
Mean-spirited. It was me.
Keep it professional, guys.
Bush turned out to be a jerk, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they removed the W from the president's keyboard, though.
No.
George W. Bush is a liar.
One of the things I like about Obama's administration
is that I feel that there are hardcore Democrats who have always voted Democrat that, with his administration, may actually possibly be starting to wake up a little bit.
I don't know.
That happened with Bush.
Yeah, that's
so
true. Yeah. My aunt, who was hardcore freaking socialist, code pink in San Francisco, is very disillusioned with Obama and actually participated in a small protest when Hillary Clinton showed up. In San Fran.
Was she one of the ones? Wait, this was kind of famous, right? Code pink. No, I'm thinking of Dianne Feinstein.
She's in Code Pink. Yep.
There's footage of them getting like pulled out of a Dianne Feinstein rally where they were edging her on.
Yeah.
Razzler.
Yeah, what's the leader's name? I forget. It's something unusual.
Pinky McPinkerson.
No.
Cindy
Sheehan.
Isn't it Cindy Sheehan?
No, that's Cindy. No, not Cindy Sheehan. No, but my aunt's actually good friends with her.
No, it's Medea Benjamin. But
Medea Benjamin. Yeah.
See, we actually have someone who
stand on hardcore.
Angela
Democrats.
Knows things.
Why are we even thinking about Democrats?
We were just talking about Democrats.
She wants to talk about oxygen facials.
My skin itch for my body. My body.
She needs an oxygen facial.
My body. Listening to all your weird voting confessions and everything, and it gets worse and worse, and before someone
like
they love Stalin.
I like it. The new fiend is just going to tell us.
Well,
the new fiend is just going to tell us how much we suck every show.
So, an anarcho-Stalinist. Yeah, I know.
Well, Stalin is welcome in the land of the deep, but not profound.
One of our audience members.
I think we should force people to be free.
Yeah, I like that. What?
An audience member just said Mark Edge forces people to not pay him pay their taxes. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's king.
He's
king Mark the First.
That was his decree. Yeah. You know, if he's going to be king, I really wish he'd go by Edgington and not Edge. Edgington just sounds more like a king.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
King Edgington.
I think he's starting to take it kind of seriously,
too. Edgington the First.
I think he is starting to take it seriously. I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still walking around with a crown, right?
He is, yeah. He rocks it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Libertarians are desperate for leadership.
They are. They love their beloved leaders. They love them.
Pete, seriously, like, people run up to him and, like, bow and kiss his ring, and it's weird.
I think the power's going to his head a little bit.
What power? Well, Adam Kokesh was going to run for anarchy president. How'd that work out?
Did he? Well, anarchy president? You know, the campaign is young, Michael. We don't know how it turned out. We have to wait for the polls.
Yeah. Give it time.
And, you know, with enough facials and
oxygen facials.
And however much money it takes for Randy England to murder a person, Adam Kokesh might actually win.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how much that is.
The Department of Justice is going to subpoena me for all of your information.
We're saving that for the right moment.
Wow.
I mean,
that would violate the non-aggression.
If you were going to have an election today between Adam Kokesh, George Jeb Bush, and Hillbillery, who would you vote for?
Have to pay me to vote, but you know, Jeb Bush is calling himself a libertarian. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah.
So did Bob Barr.
Oh!
Sorry, Michael.
Sorry, not sorry.
Ouch. Hashtag.
Well, yeah, you know, like libertarian is the new term that needs to be nationalized, right? It needs to be like everybody's a libertarian.
Libertarian lives matter.
I mean, if Bill Maher can be a libertarian, why can't Hillary Clinton be a libertarian? And then we'll have two libertarians running. I mean, isn't that the dream? I got the beast to laugh.
Who'd you get to laugh?
Laughed. She's like quiet, but she just comes out of her. It's like
her
Grover,
beast.
Right? Like, she, was it Grover? Who's the Grouch? Oscar.
Oscar. Yeah, Oscar.
I'm sorry. I have been mean. I apologize.
Wow.
You're calling her. Is that her? She doesn't like the flaming. Fever,
she doesn't
right?
like flaming fever, no.
She's not going to like Angela the Grouch either.
Fiendbone might just be it.
I like Fiendbone. I'm going to call her out on the website for now and see how it works out. Fiendbone.
Fiendbone.
Angela, you need to change your Facebook page.
After this short break, we will twist Angela Keaton's arm into consenting to the wrestling name Fiendbone.
The fuzzy Fiendbone.
We're broadcasting this into space.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
We're on the air.
Knock a meow for me, Angela.
Meow.
I can't hear you if you don't talk into the mic.
This is the part where I make food in the kitchen.
You make food in the kitchen?
Yeah, when I'm hearing this in my own head and in life and on the radio.
You mean like when you're not on the show and you're just listening, this is the part where you'd be cooking?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you narrate the rest for us? What would you be cooking right now?
Well, I think that's a little bit too personal, don't you think? I just sort of, you know, I mean, let's ease into things here. I don't want to, like, just be dumping information
about
my life.
You spent the first hour talking about touching your fiend bone. I mean, you can tell us about cooking.
Please touch my fiend bone.
Sometimes, I have a swollen, inflamed fiend bone.
Don't touch that fiend bone.
Don't touch that fiend bone.
Leave that fiend bone alone.
Swollen, flaming, throbbing, and pulsating, and infested fiend bone.
Bacterial or viral?
Could be a fungus.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, a fiend bone.
A fungal fiend bone, right? All right.
Is there still a radio show going
on? We're live right now.
No, this is
it.
Trying not to disturb.
This is not a break.
Disturb anyone's fiend bones, okay?
It's like a Zeppelin.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
It's like a dress rehearsal, except there's an audience.
Gosh.
It's like the Hindenburg.
It's a coming disaster.
Nobody light a match in here.
Where do we leave off? Did everyone say what their vote was worth?
Yeah.
We did? We have not settled on Angela's name, I don't think, yet.
Wasn't it Fiendbone? Is it Fungal Fiendbone?
Fungal Fiendbone.
I just jumbled back.
Oh, draft. Oh.
Somebody pressed a button and we just lost.
Hey, how's it going? We were just attacked by a swarm of vicious carnivorous moths, and
we lost you for 30 seconds there.
Yeah,
Mothra.
It was a swarm, and we had to flail around, and everything fell apart.
Wow.
Flailing is my defense mechanism. Flailing? I'm sorry. It's flailing and then it's windmill arms.
And furiously
the
scratching.
Flailing,
and try to run away before
the
it gets
flailing
sad.
Fiend bone.
The flailing fiend bone.
And this is how the show degenerates into nonsensical babble. Michael, how are you doing?
That moth had it out.
Do we lose
us.
Michael? Hello.
Sangeeta?
Worms. Sangeeta.
Wait, have we even been
Hey, wait a minute. Does Sangeeta have a wrestling name?
I don't think she does.
She needs one.
She does, yeah.
Wait, do you think the show is really happening?
Well, I'm going to check.
Is this real?
Yeah, I think this is just more lies and deceit.
You need to have she's from India. Perhaps she would, if you would combine, come up with some metal with like mongoose. Is there a metal that starts with an M?
Metal starts with an M.
Metal mongoose.
The metal mongoose.
Magnesium.
Too many syllables.
Help
us, Angela.
Are we still connected?
I can't help you. This is
sure
beyond help. I mean, this is yeah, no, this is the last days of some empire.
Yeah.
Collapsing and burning.
It's the end
us.
Of the Fiend Empire, and we're all just giggling as fiends burns.
No, it's it's the inflamed hemorrhoidal tissue of the fiend bone. It's leaking.
Not as fiend burns, as fiend bones.
Fiend bone leaking.
Get some preparation F for the fiend.
So, are we on or what?
Yeah, you're up.
I don't think we are. I think it's over. I think the world has come to an end.
It was the Mothman.
The Mothman.
It was just a moth.
The Mothman prophecies.
The Mothman. Derailed by a Mothman.
That was a huge moth.
How embarrassing, wasn't it? It didn't even. It was scary.
Right now, he is dialing up.
I saw my life flash before my eyes.
Yeah, he is. Emergency show. Oh, what's the phone number? Oh,
that sounds like the end of the show.
Yeah.
Meow.
Worms.
We'll be right back.
Oh, it's just a segment. What time is it? Is this real? Will this go on forever? Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
How about hilarious? Hilarious interruptus.
The Freedom Fiends, and we're back talking, trying to figure out what rhymes with a certain word.
We're trying to come up with a wrestling name for Sangeeta.
I feel like she's earned it.
POTUS interruptus.
POTUS interruptus. Are you saying her feet stink? It's not very nice.
I like that. POTUS interruptus. That works.
POTUS. Like
POTUS, POTUS President, like of, the President United States.
Of the United States of America. Yeah. Pot USA,
like,
is how it's spelled.
To her.
Why is it an insult?
I'm ready to make a judgment.
Come
on.
On
the aroma of her feet, okay?
Everyone knows the POTUS should be interrupted. With your birth certificate, it would be Indian, right?
Oh.
We have lots of words that rhyme.
Talking to the mic.
Lots of words that rhyme with POTUS that he wanted to use there. The, you know, SCOTUS.
Lotus interruptus.
That's pretty good.
She's Indian,
Lotus
right?
interruptus is
Lotus
pretty good.
Interruptus.
Yes.
SCOTUS.
FLOTUS.
Supreme Court of the United States, yeah.
First Lady of the United States.
FLOTUS.
Yeah. I think they call her that.
So if Hillbillery is elected, that makes Bill the first man, right?
Yeah, first something.
First something.
That would be a FMOTUS.
A FMOTUS?
I liked it when they were talking about TOTUS, teleprompter of the United States.
Yes.
I see what?
FMOSUS?
What's FMOSUS?
I thought that was the First Lady of the United States.
Oh. FMOSUS. First. Wait, what's the M?
First man of the United States.
Worms. I think I'm over this. I think Sangeeta is
Lotus interruptus.
Lotus interruptus. I think that's pretty good.
It's a thing.
Because it's what she does.
Yes.
Interrupts.
Yeah, she
interrupts.
Lotus
us.
Interrupts us.
Lotus interrupts us.
Angela, what do you think?
What? No.
No, leave me alone.
Show your disapproval into the mic.
Oh, no. We're not really going out over the air still, are we?
No, we are. This is live.
You're kidding.
Think,
there's
probably.
Somebody up. So
somebody out there like listening, maybe.
Yeah.
Hardcore Fiend fans.
Yeah, but you really wonder, though. You don't really want to meet those people.
We're like looking at some of them right
people.
Now.
You're already
yeah,
in the room
I,
with
I don't
those
want
people.
Him, I'm afraid to kind of walk past them. I'm looking for the window.
Well,
wow, this is on the dead air.
If the speaker was pointed out the window, we could ask for food now.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
It's not going to happen.
There have been complaints about the Fiends and the window every year, but we've done this.
But we keep doing it, though.
No, that's true. Never let it be said that we learn from our mistakes.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Sing it, girl.
I don't know the rest of the words.
Yeah.
So you mean they're actually asleep now on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning? People are asleep?
Some people.
Some crazy people may be listening.
So, yeah, no, that just seems like that's pretty pathetic.
Well, I mean, in California, the show ends at midnight, so there are people awake.
Yeah, it's different, though. Yeah, but that's because people are just getting ready to go do something. You know, we're not... It's different.
On a Wednesday night, or is it a Thursday night? What day is it? It's Thursday, right?
It's Thursday morning.
It's Thursday morning?
Thursday.
Thursday.
Not yet in Los Angeles, but yeah, it's...
Yeah. So it's Wednesday night.
Like, you know, we really shouldn't be exploring whether it's Wednesday. You know, it just feels like every second now we're making people cry out in the audience by talking about these things. We're better off sticking to general interests, like, you know, does a fiend bone leak? And if it does, you know, what do you do about that? What do you do about the leakage?
Wrap it in gauze a little bit, not too much. Put some antibiotics on it. I don't know.
Give it a facial.
An antifungal.
An antifungal.
An antifungal facial.
Put some...
No. Give it an oxygen bath.
You're also full of judgment.
I'm sorry. Should we be more tolerant of your fiend bone?
It's you know, you can't really, it's, acceptance is something you can demand. You just have to find through the search, and you go through a long struggle with your fiend bone to try to figure out where your fiend bone is and what it belongs to and who it's going to be and how far is it going to flame and, you know, how hard is it all going to be? And you don't know that in the beginning of the fiend bone search.
It's a long discovery.
Fiend bone search. Acceptance of the fiend.
What if it's like
it's a process?
Do you guys ever read The Ugly Duckling? You know that story, that nursery rhyme or whatever it is. So what if
it turns out to be a swan?
Yeah. What if like the fiend bone like goes spoiler through alert. Puberty and it just you discover that it's like actually something else entirely. It's actually a swan. It's a fiend swan.
And it's the most beautiful fiend swan there ever was.
A swan bone. There you go.
Can you make like swan bone broth out of a swan bone? Would that be good? I don't
know. Probably if you were hungry enough and you wanted to kill such a magnificent, majestic creature.
I bet it would make really good broth. Like, I kind of want it. I mean, I like poultry. And
it is poultry.
But it's just
true.
Another bird, right? Yeah. I mean... It's cool looking,
you can
but
eat a swan.
It could be delicious. So, I mean, has anyone ever...
Are we trying to say all birds taste like chicken? Is that what we're getting at?
Cause I mean...
You ever wonder, why does chicken get credit for that? Like, when people say, like, frog legs taste like chicken, why doesn't the frog go like, you know, I had it first, all right? Like, on the evolutionary line of things, amphibians, we were around a long time before the chicken.
Well, I don't know. Chickens are pretty much dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, frogs are pretty much from the ocean, so, like...
Good point.
If anything, they taste like frogs.
Yeah, chicken, if everything tastes like... Frog legs.
So speaking of dinosaurs, has anyone here seen Jurassic World?
Yes.
No.
What are your thoughts, Dolly?
I'm utterly disappointed.
You know, I have to admit that I kind of am too. I mean, it was definitely hyped up, and I was expecting the same, I don't know, level of Jurassic Park. And it really, for me, did not have the same personality.
But he's a chameleon now.
Yeah.
And not just like a color chameleon, like a thermal chameleon. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't show up on the heat sensors anymore. What is he called? In coitus interruptus rex? Is that what it was? No, what was it called?
I don't know. He was mixed with what is it? Cthulhu DNA.
It was a pufferfish. Oh, wow. No, it was the Tyrannosaurus Rex and a pufferfish.
A cuttlefish. Yeah.
And no, not frogs this time. Mm-mm, we're going cuttlefish now.
Yeah, cuttlefish. It's cuttlefish time.
I don't remember. And then it dug out its own GPS tracking device. It had a RFID chip in the back of its whatever, and it's like, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, I'm gonna take that out.
I'll tell you what. One of the biggest problems I had with the plausibility of it had to do with the Velociraptors.
Oh, spoiler alert for those that, you know, don't have a 30-second time machine.
Right. So the Velociraptors are supposed to be super intelligent,
yeah,
but they end up being able to be trained more or less like dogs.
Yeah, of course.
So
that's what intelligence is the ability to be trained.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but at the same time, it's like, it's almost like in Jurassic Park, it was almost like they had the ability to reason.
Yeah.
So an animal that can reason, would they necessarily respond to clicker training?
humans do.
Some humans.
Do.
True.
But those, I can't necessarily say that those humans can really reason very well.
I'm not sure that I want to categorically say that humans have the ability to reason. Like, it may be
exactly.
A superpower.
Yeah.
Superpowers. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's the best superpower.
I mean, it was.
Oh, and then the fact that this whatever it was.
I think it was Indomitable Rex.
Indomitable
Rex. And then
Rex.
They wanted to call it like Verizon Rex or something, right? Like,
no, Samsung
it
Rex.
It was Samsung Rex.
Samsung.
Right. It was the Samsung Galaxy Rex.
And the fact that it was mixed with Velociraptor, which is
right.
Ended up being basically a giant Velociraptor.
Which don't cuddle.
And then all of a sudden, exactly, they don't cuddle, and they could suddenly communicate with each other. This huge Velociraptor and the smaller Velociraptors,
yeah.
They could just automatically communicate with each other.
And they hunt for sport. And that was like the big scary thing. Oh, yeah. My God, it kills even when it's not hungry.
They try to do too much on that. Oh, and there was no Jeff Goldblum, and that was
no
the biggest
Jeff Goldblum.
Crime.
He's doing real estate commercials now. Can you believe that?
Oh yeah,
wow. Yeah.
Like apartments.com or something.
Yeah, yeah. apartments.com because Jeff Goldblum obviously was typecast as a guy who blows up alien ships.
Sciencey guy.
Yeah.
He's really funny in Portlandia. I don't know if you guys.
Oh
ever
yeah,
watched
you
I
really
was.
I love
but
that.
But he'll make cameos in that, and it's really really yeah. funny stuff. I'm not sure which season.
Come to think of it, I didn't watch the end of Jurassic World.
Oh, you did?
How did it end? Spoil it for me.
Everybody was okay in the
oh,
end.
Oh, good.
And, you know,
I'm glad.
Survived, and the bad guys were killed and eaten.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
And it was the other thing, the whole military thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need drones anymore. What we need is military velociraptors.
Exactly. Genius.
What
could possibly go wrong?
Like,
It seems like such a weird thing that, you know, okay, the velociraptors are now the enemy. They're the bad guy of the movie. But it's like the humans created them. Then didn't they, like, weaponize them or something? I'm not going to see the movie, but it's like.
Well, yeah,
humans,
it was the theme park the needed thing. Military funding. And so they
all. InGen. Was it InGen?
InGen.
Yeah, that was the big company in the first one. And I don't know, InGen had something to do. I don't know. There was a lot going on in that movie.
Yeah, so I don't want to admit to anything immoral, illegal, or fattening, but I watched this through like a camcorder recording that somebody did. And so it was terrible video and audio and everything. I kind of got the gist of what was going on, but I couldn't sit through it. Like, I just,
yeah.
It was so bad. It was like the worst, like midnight monster movie you've ever seen in your life, where it's almost like Superman superpowers, right? Where it's like whatever the plot called for, that suddenly the monster had that superpower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see it like on the little video screen on the camera or something?
No. Like somebody brought a camcorder into a theater. This is how things are pirated. You've seen this Seinfeld episode, right? Like Kramer brings a camera in, and there's like a competition is to see who can get it the most. Anyway, there's websites that have these videos. And I've never been to them. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
The movie theater?
In fact, I haven't even seen Jurassic World.
is that your disclaimer for the
yeah.
end of this segment?
Worms. Nothing I said really happened in the movie. Go see it. I'm sure it's great.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasting you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Not a fan.
Meow, meow.
Angela seems incensed by the meowing.
No, it's great. Ouch, though. I mean.
Ouch.
Ouch.
What, did the cat get you?
Oh, I think worse than the cat got me. It's like the whole, like, reproductive and everything in my body just wants to explode after 2 hours of this.
All right. So
it's an entire needs like a radio detox.
What? I have no idea what's going on right now.
But no, but they said to do something redeeming, so I should make a pitch for antiwar.com, and I was just trying to think of what the pitch would be. And
I want to know where antiwar.com stands on the Velociraptor industrial complex.
I think that's why we need antiwar.com the most, so that doesn't grow much larger. I mean, it's already out of control.
You're looking at me like I have three eyes or something. Like
it's donate to antiwar.com in some theoretical abstract world where you can do these things, because then I wouldn't have to be on the air in the middle of the night talking about my fiend bone. It really comes back to how hard a sales pitch do I have to make? Well, I mean, they said you got to work the room blue. You know, don't be afraid to talk about fiend bones and explosions and fiend fists and
fiend fists.
I mean, that's a different direction.
Hashtag pork fist, wasn't that something?
Yeah, one of the things that maybe. But
can you think of any examples, like seriously, of actual militarized animals?
Yeah, there's a bunch of CIA cats.
What?
There are cats in space.
Cats in space.
Cats in space.
What's a CIA cat?
Spy cats. Don't you know spy cats?
I don't know about spy cats.
Oh, and you've been doing meowing and trying to culturally appropriate their signifying sounds, and you don't know about the CIA cat.
Can they sing as well as the Aristocats?
The Aristocats. Watch out for those jazz cats.
So, like, what, they, like, put little cameras on their collars and sent them into communist enclaves? Like, what would they do?
You can actually go online and you can learn about World War II, and I wish I remembered all this, but this is true. There were spy cats, but those of you who've dealt with cats know that it's a little harder to get them to be down with a program. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're asking a lot of a cat to do spy work. That's what I think. I mean, I wouldn't have spent that.
Not as impressionable as a velociraptor.
Clearly not, because cats do not respond to clicker training.
Do you think they were double agents, though? Because the CIA thought they had them controlled, but you can't control a cat. Everyone knows that.
It's possible. I mean, I guess really it's obvious. I mean, like, horses were military animals. There are military dogs. There are, can't think of any others. There were bats. There was a case where they put bombs on bats because they knew that bats would find dark places in the raftings of buildings to hide, and so they used them as like weaponized drones, essentially.
Stuff.
They didn't ask for that. And you know what? That black lab didn't ask for that either, and Josh Coleman killed a cop. So
when did they use bats?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just heard this story.
When did they use horses for spies?
No, for military. Like, pretty much before the automobile.
Yeah, war horse.
Oh, like riding them.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's the cavalry.
Spy horses.
Those are mounted horses.
That's why horse whisperers have to whisper. Right, so antiwar.com. Go to antiwar.com, vote against the Velociraptor, vote against the spy cat.
Yeah. Rescue me from shows with wrestling names and bones. Too many bones.
It really is. It's an injustice to Angela Keene to have to appear on the Freedom Fiends. The audience should really donate enough to antiwar.com that she doesn't have to make, embarrassing appearances like this.
Are we beneath her? I feel like...
No, it's underneath me. It slid by me. It's over there somewhere.
It's behind her rotator cuff.
I think we honor you with the wrestling name Fiendbone. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode when George wanted everyone to call him T-Bone?
Yeah.
And nothing he could do could get anyone to do that. And all you had to do was come here one time and sit down... And you have it. I spent all my life. I wish they would call me Fiendbone, but you've got it.
Thank
you're
you.
You're it.
I feel closer to all of you now.
I feel closer to your Fiendbone, but I won't touch it.
You might catch something.
Well, that's all the leaking we can do for tonight. If you are out there in Radio Land, watch out for the Velociraptors, because they have camouflage. More.